Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this is the Right Now Mastermind class for September 2012. Our guest today is C. Hope Clark, and she is here to talk about creating multiple sources of income as a writer. C. Hope Clark is the founder of FundsForWriters.com, a website recognized by Writer's Digest for its 101 best website for writers for the last 12 years. Hope uses this site as well as her newsletters to reach 45,000 writers about grants, contests, markets, publishers, agents, employers, and the general world of making a living as a writer. Her background in federal grants and lending, as well as her personal experience as a freelance writer and author, give her the depth of knowledge that continues to educate writers around the world. Additionally, Hope's personal joy is writing mysteries, and her debut novel is Low Country Bribe, a Carolina Slade mystery, published by Bellbridge Books, Memphis, in February 2012. Hope lives on the banks of Lake Murray in beautiful South Carolina. Welcome, Hope. I'm glad to have you with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Good to have you here. So people are still joining us, but why don't we dig in? If anybody needs to mute your line, if you're somewhere where it's going to be noisy, go ahead and click *6 now, and you'll be able to unmute your line later on in the call. So as we start, Hope, I'd love to hear about this idea of grants. Are there grants for writers to stay home and write a book?
Oh, that's always the first question I get asked whenever I talk about grants. The grant to stay home and write a book is pretty much a myth. First of all, grants are not as big as people think they are. And second, grants that have no strings that go to writers often go to writers that have already published. So they are there, but they are few and far between. As I run across their calls for submissions, I do put them in Funds for Writers. But you have to keep in mind, to become a writer and get grants for being a writer, the world has to recognize you as a writer first. It's like opening a business. You can't go out and open a business as, say, a plumber and not have proven yourself as an apprentice with someone else. You see? For grants, people that give the grants, I think we kind of misunderstand why grants are given. The people who give the grants have a mission and a purpose and a job to make sure the money is going to people that will be successful in what they're doing and make the grant provider look good. See, they're investing money in people who they give grants to, and they need to be willing to say, hey, this is what we do for humanity, and here are our success stories, and this is how we qualified these people to be our success stories. So grants are there. There's a zillion different kinds, but the basic one most people think of to stay home and write, those are hard to get and pretty much a myth.
Okay. So if I'm a new writer, is there any hope of getting a grant?
I suggest new writers actually get more involved with contests than I do grants.
Mm.
But I tell everyone who has any inkling of an idea with grants to contact their state arts commission.
Okay.
Because the arts commission is the guru for the state as to what grants are available from various sources. They also know anything to do with the arts in the state. That includes conferences, businesses, retreats, other types of grants, nonprofit arrangements. That's what they do for a living, is protect the arts and educate on the arts. So the Arts Commission is the number one place to go. The second place is the Humanities Commission. People forget about that one.
And what's the Humanities Commission? It's a state thing?
Yeah, every state has one. Every single state has one. The humanities tends to lean towards history and education and sociology and psychology, the humanities. If you think about anything that's not the arts, that's artsy, tends to fall into the humanities. And I know most of your book fairs are sponsored by humanities councils, not arts councils.
Oh, that's fascinating. So anywhere else we should be looking for finding grants?
Oh, gosh. Community foundations.
Okay.
Every local area, if you'll Google community foundation and your town or your county or even your state, community foundations are a local, is a local umbrella of little teeny grants. You may have, I mean, I could sponsor a grant. Maybe I just want to give a $1,000 grant once a year, but I don't want to have to manage that foundation. I don't want to deal with all of that. So they have a, what's called a community foundation that handles that for dozens and dozens of small grants in a certain geographic region. You'd be amazed how many kids go to college on community foundation grants. So some of those are very liberal in how they give out their grants. You know, some of those little things may hand out $500 and $1,000 just because you live in that area, or they may want you to be an engineer writing about a certain topic. I mean, they can get very specific, too. So it's a matter of contacting your community foundation and say, hey, I'm a writer, I have this project going on, or I have this need to attend a conference, or whatever it is, and say, do you have anything that could help a writer? They don't advertise because, frankly, you know, it costs to advertise, and they don't need to because they give away all their money. But there's not a tremendous amount of competition, so you got to hunt them out. They are
out. Well, those are fantastic hints. I love hearing about these kinds of things. So what if we're trying to write a novel? How do we establish some income while we're doing that? Because novels usually don't bring in big advances or a steady income for quite a while.
No, they don't. I'm a walking, talking example of that. I started off writing the novel before there ever were funds for writers. And I couldn't sell the novel. I spent 2 years writing it, couldn't sell it, and decided, I'm a writer. I'm going to stay in this, you know, one way or another. So I started looking for other ways to make a living. And I started off with, frankly, magazines. And some writers don't envision themselves as writing for magazines, but they'll blog all day long. And to me, there's not 2 cents difference. I might as well get paid for what I'm writing. So I push every writer to writing articles for magazines. I mean, it's not that time consuming. You can pitch 2 or 3 a week, and you know, a small amount might be, you know, $100. A big amount could be $750. I made a living writing magazine articles while I was writing, editing and rewriting my novel over the years. And then because I was collecting so much information and trying to find ways to make a living, I created Funds for Writers as my business, because I just had too much data and I wanted to share it.
Yeah.
The other thing is contests. You know, the contest can be very highbrow and literary, or they can be cutesy and fun, but they can be income. I made about $750 one year in 2009 while I was marketing my manuscript for Low Country Bride. I sent it around to different contests just to see if it was worth marketing yet. You know, I was kind of using it as a barometer. And in doing that, I placed in several, won, and wound up with putting $750 in my pocket. So contests are also a really good source of income once you get your writing honed. And what better way to judge whether or not you're getting honed is how well you're placing in contests.
Mm. So I think, you know, what I hear from a lot of writers when it comes to contests is, are they legitimate? What do I have to worry about? So can you give me some ideas or give us some ideas of what makes a contest legitimate? What are signs that it's a scam?
Okay, the red flags of a contest start off with, is this the first time they've ever done one? Now, that doesn't, you know, everybody has to start somewhere, but you know, perk up when you see it's the first annual writing contest, because that means you've got to dig deeper. And you want to know who is behind the contest. If you can't find a human being's name on that website anywhere, be a little skeptical, because a legitimate contest is approachable.
Mm.
Okay, when they say info at, you know, contest.com, if you still have an interest in it, email them and see if you can get a response back. Ask them questions. Ask them the hard questions. You know, where are they getting the money for the prizes, or who are the judges? And see if you get a response. If they're not eager to respond, close the door on them. Because you know, contests should be very open to the public and be open to answering questions, because they need to come across as legit. And in the writing industry, contests, to me, have a bad rap. The grand majority are legitimate organizations and legitimate competitions that can do a lot for a writer. But, you know, as a whole, there's been a handful, like Poetry.com once upon a time, that gave those things a bad rap.
Mm.
But they're actually very good. And I know the literary writers, those that are writing literary prose and poetry, thrive on contests.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what puts them on the map.
Yeah, and I know that some pop writers have won contests as ways of getting their first book published. So it can be a great thing that way too.
Oh, it can be wonderful. You know, Cheerios sponsors one every year for children's writers, for unpublished.
You're kidding?
No, Cheerios has one once a year. They have this contest for an unpublished children's writer, and you pitch your story. If they select you, you're published, and I forget, it might be Penguin. You're published, and they put the book in so many Cheerios boxes for about a month.
Wow. Oh, that's a great... I never knew that. So Hope, besides your funds for writers as a source of finding out contests, where else do you recommend people look to find out about contests?
Oh, let's see. You know, a lot depends on what kind of contest you want, but poetsandwriters.org, you know, pw.org, is an excellent source if you are writing with a literary bent. I think justacontest.com is another one. You'll see a lot of Google ads and things on that one, but the contests are legitimate. Oh, gosh. There's no one real source, to tell you the truth. I get most of my contests from the contests themselves.
Mm.
It's gotten to the point where they send them to me. Would you put this in your next newsletter? And then I vet it to make sure it's legit and make sure it's not a first one. I just turned one down this week that didn't have their website up, and I said, well, I can't vet you till I know what you're about. So
yeah. Well, and I should let people know that if you're interested in more information on contests, Hope wrote a great article for my blog, and you can still enter the contest there to win either a copy of her book or a full subscription to Funds for Writers. So all you go to rightnowcoach.com/blog. You should be able to scroll down and find her great article, which has some wonderful tips on contests. You know, one of the things I've noticed that you mention a lot in your articles is this idea of funding streams. So what do you mean by funding streams? Are they different ways to earn money, and what would they be?
What I try to teach writers is that, yes, you want to, most writers are writing books these days. I mean, with the advent of self-publishing, that seems to be the thrust of every writer. But, you know, you may be thinking about writing your book, but you've got to have income. So you need to think outside of just writing the book. If you write magazine articles, think just outside of writing magazine articles. Think of options. That's the reason I throw the contest in there. It's to me that's like a dessert at the end of the day. Ooh, I've got this great article. Is there a contest I can send it to? Or I see a great contest. I'm going to take the challenge and write the theme and see if I can meet that deadline in word count. You need to stretch more muscles than just the main ones. I'm a mystery writer, but I also freelance for magazines to have a steady income coming in. I also submit to a contest periodically. If there's a small grant I think I have a chance for, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. A lot of writers want to go to conferences. Well, you'd be surprised at how many of these conferences give grants or scholarships for people to attend but don't advertise them. And retreats. Oh my gosh, there's so many retreats out there. I love those things. And so few writers take advantage of them. So I'm trying to get people to look at all these options. Another thing is freelancing. Freelancing locally. I've, you know, write for newsletters, write for your dentist, write, you know, write for whoever is willing to pay you. I did resume writing for a couple of years when I was making ends meet at when I first started Funds for Writers. It's a mindset of I'm going to write whatever it takes so that I can get my project done. You know, it's I was writing mysteries the whole time, but to afford the ability to write mysteries, I had to write nonfiction and write other things that brought in a living. And by keeping so entrenched in all of these different funding streams, you actually see more opportunities. And I think that's why Funds for Writers is popular, is that I'm going to put it under your nose whether you think you want it right now or not, because a year from now you may go, wait a minute, I saw a grant for that. Or wait a minute, I saw a contest when I, you know, about that topic. I want you to think outside of just the one project you're writing on to give you more opportunity to become known as a writer. You have to be a writer first before you become a novelist. You need to be a writer first before you become a freelance journalist. You see what I'm saying? It's you got to learn craft, and you got to be willing to do whatever it takes before you can become known for what you want to become known for.
Yeah, and I, you know, one of the things that I'm hearing you say is that both doing all this kind of writing is going to improve your craft, but the other thing is it's going to do is improve your platform.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think that most books only sell, 50 to 100 copies, then, you know, you might get into a periodical that has a circulation of 500,000 or a million or...
You do. It's when I say you have to become a writer first before you become a novelist, that's what I'm trying to say, is somebody has to recognize that you even know what you're doing before they're going to buy your book. And when we go pitching these books and we go online and nobody can find your name, they can't see your blog, or your blog is 6 months old, or you have no other credits to your name, they're going to instantly mark you off. And not to say you can't write, but nobody's going to give your big project, you know, your 100,000-word book an opportunity if they don't know that you can get vetted and published in various circles. So that's the reason I say start with magazines. It doesn't mean you stop writing the book. Your book's going to take a year or two to get done if you're doing it well. So get out there and make yourself known as a writer. It's what I wound up doing with Funds for Writers. I started with the mystery, couldn't sell the mystery, looked for ways to make a living, learned so many different ways to make a living that I started putting it in Funds for Writers, then became known for Funds for Writers to the point that when I finally, a few years later, decided to hunt for an agent, people knew me for Funds for Writers before, so I could get my foot in the door and say, by the way, I also have this novel.
So it, that makes sense.
Yeah. It may be, I call it backdoor branding, but it's basically what you're doing. You know, you're branding yourself as a writer, not necessarily as a book writer, novelist, or whatever you're doing.
And, but now you're talking about juggling a lot of things, and so I just want to ask, how did you do that? How did you manage your time, kind of novel writing, fun for writers producing, and magazine articles? Were you writing all day? Do you have like umpteen amounts of energy that we don't have? What's your secret, Hope?
When I started off, I was still working for the federal government as... I worked in grants and lending with the federal government. That's what gave me my edge in the grants business. That's the reason I know how they function and where to find a lot of them. But I was still working 12-hour days because I was an administrative director for a small agency. It was very political, and I was on call a lot. But I came home, and I actually set parameters. We took care of the kids and had dinner, and it may not be a five-course meal, and I may not be the one always fixing it. But it was a matter of, okay, mom's got it right tonight. And I started off just giving myself 15 minutes. Doesn't sound like much. But I shut the door and did 15 minutes of hard writing every night after work, no matter what time it was, until I groomed the habit. Then it got to where I came home and I'd go, I'm going to write, and everybody would go, okay, don't bother mom. And I'd do it, and it became 30 minutes. And then it became an hour every night after everyone went to sleep and whatever I did on the weekends, to the point where I had to do it as much as I did brushing my teeth.
Mm.
I think that's very key. You have to instill the habit. But also, you've got to respect that habit. If you're not respecting it, neither will your family and friends. And, I mean, my kids got a little lecture as to don't cross that threshold into my study unless, you know, unless you're bleeding, you're throwing up, or the house is on fire. And that was the three things we, you know, we used to joke about. And it got, I had a chair in there, and when they knock on the door, mom, can you, you know, review something for me for school, or I have a question, they were invited in. It wasn't that they could barge in. And it's been respected to this day. I mean, my children are in their late 20s now, and they'll call and say, are you writing? So it's nice. You've got to build that point to where when you sit in that chair in front of the computer, your whole instinct is to start writing.
Yeah. So how did you divide your time between your novel, which was kind of your favorite project, the thing that you're really passionate about, and the other work? Did you do your novel first so you made sure you got it in? Because it seems like, I think, the freelance writing career could take up your whole life, all of your time.
Oh, it can. And the mystery did get put on the back burner for about 4 years, to tell you the truth. Once it was rejected a bunch of times, I put it on the back burner and just kind of let it vegetate a bit. And that's when Funds for Writers really grew.
Mm.
But when I was working the day job, I did work every night. I worked on the weekends. I did the things that brought in income first and then stopped, and dessert was writing my fun, creative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good thing to, you know, each has its own personality, and I can do nonfiction in the day and I do fiction at night. It's just, that's just what suits my schedule, but you've got to understand your own biological clock and, you know, how you work and what suits your purpose around your schedule and your personality. But I do during the day now. I'm working full-time with Funds for Writers. And during the day, I do Funds for Writers. But when night falls, I'm all about the mysteries. And, you know, it's just a start and stop type of thing that I've taught myself over the years. I also have a little practice for my freelance that keeps me focused called Keep 13 in Play.
Oh, and say more about that.
Yeah, 13 in Play means that I keep 13 submissions outstanding at all times in my freelance site. Now, it could be a contest, it could be a magazine, it could be, you know, anything where I'm trying to get a little income back from it. And I keep 13 queries out there. Now, as I get rejected, then I turn around and I stop whatever I'm doing and I put another one out there because I want to keep that 13 in place.
Yeah.
And if I get accepted, fine, I got to stop what I'm doing and put another one out there to keep 13 in place. That turned into a habit to the point where, you know, do I have 13? Oh my God, I'm down to 11. Stop. Let's get out two more queries. It keeps you focused on putting things out there, and then suddenly you turn around and there's an acceptance in your email, and you didn't even expect it because you were so focused on keeping your numbers up. But I still do that to this day to keep things out there, and sometimes I'll build it up to 15 or 18 to buy me time to just mystery too.
So I'm going to get ahead. I'm going to get 15 or 18 out there that I can rest, and then everybody rejects you or accepts you at once. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah, exactly right. It's like a game. Well, you know, I mean, I'm playing a game with myself, but it works. It really works.
That's great.
It keeps you focused.
Well, now you talked a little bit about blogging at the beginning of the call and saying that, you know, sometimes articles are better because you get paid. So do you know, is there a way to make money from blogging? I know there's a few people like Deuce who's making, you know, a six-figure or a five-figure income every month.
Yeah.
What's your take on the blogging thing?
You got to decide what you want. Do you want to be a professional blogger? Then by all means do it. But that means that is what you do 8 hours a day or however many hours you're investing in it. All your full-time writing has to go into blogging. Those guys that are making the bucks off the blogs, that is their profession. And believe you me, there's a lot to be learned off being a professional blogger. And they have their own little world out there, and there is a lot to be learned, and they are smart as a whip. Very good business entrepreneurs. So if you want to make a steady income blogging, that has to be your profession. Now, if you want to be a mystery writer, romance writer, then you've got to realize blogging is secondary. And it's going to become more of a branding type thing just to keep your voice out there niggling at the ears of everyone that, you know, I'm a writer. Here's another good idea. You know, you're reminding people you're there so that when your book comes out, they go, oh, Hope's got a book out. And they know who Hope is.
Yeah.
You know, so you, if you want to make income off of blogging, you've got to do it seriously. I'm that way about anything. If you want to make serious money off magazine writing, then pour your heart into it. Same thing with books, same thing with contests. You know, I know people that go, that do grants, that get grants twice a year. They work it. They just keep working it. And that can be a lot of time-consuming effort, too. So whatever you choose to make money off of, you got to work it hard.
Yeah,
that's the best thing I can say about it. There are a few blogs that pay out there. Not many.
Okay.
And, you know, most you're going to get paid, a top dollar for a blog is $50.
Yeah.
And it's got to be clean and per their requirements, just like any other guidelines, but it's got to be pretty crisp.
So, you know, one of the things I just heard about is that someone raised over $1 million with crowdfunding to pay for the production of their CD, their album.
Right.
So I'm wondering about crowdfunding for novels or other sorts of books. Have you heard about that? Is it real? Is it a gimmick? Has anybody ever made enough money to publish their book?
Yes. Yes, I think it's very real. When somebody approaches me and says, I need funds, I can't self-publish, I instantly send them to crowdfunding. Because the problem with self-publishing is a lot of grant providers don't like it. They still don't like it. There are ways to do it, and if we had 2 hours to talk, I could tell you how to take your self-published book, partner up with a nonprofit and find you some grants. It's a little more complicated than just asking for a grant. But Kickstarter.com is probably the leader when it comes to crowdfunding, and I've known several books to get published through them. I even knew one that didn't quite get its money, but it got enough interest to where they went ahead and did it anyway and became successful with the book. It just motivated them. It was a children's Christmas book, and I bought it. I mean, I love Kickstarter. I periodically peruse through the books that are in process to see if there's anybody I want to kind of, you know, throw $25 or $50 to, because I really admire these people that are learning to be entrepreneurs before they get the book out instead of waiting until they got boxes of books wondering what they're going to do with them.
Mm.
But crowdfunding is a matter of you presenting yourself in a very positive light and a proactive, energetic life is this is what you're doing, this is how you're going to do it, this is the story behind the story, and it's a matter of building excitement for people out there that basically want to be like you. You know, they have not reached your point of enthusiasm and dared to try to publish or dared to try to get on Kickstarter and try to do it. So they're kind of watching to see how others do it, and that's the kind of people that will look at those projects and go, oh, I like what they're doing. Oh, I like their budget. I like how they're going to do the cover, whatever, and they throw $25 in the pot, and, you know, before long that person's got their money and they're off publishing their book. I had a little girl about 24, I say little girl, sorry, that's a bad habit of mine since my children are up in that age. She self-published a book that was called Three Questions about a cross-country trip she took with her boyfriend, and they got very philosophical in their long time together in the car, and she wound up taking a lot of notes about what they asked each other three questions and came up with all types of solutions on how to live and how to get along with people, and so she wrote the book. She didn't do very well at it, so she turned around and started a Kickstarter project. She did a video, a little YouTube video, and she contacted editors. She contacted a graphic designer for a new cover, and she had this whole budget lined up and steps as to what she wanted to do. And it was just amazing to see the energy in this girl and how she intended to go after it. She wound up with getting, $1,500 more than she asked for.
Wow.
And put the book out. It's on my nightstand now. It's a beautiful book. She did a great, great job with it. So, yes, crowdfunding is exciting. There are no grant limits. There's not a lot of parameters there. It's whatever you want to do and how well you can do it and convincing other people to endorse you.
Wow. Well, now you mentioned this whole thing about grant providers and working with nonprofits, and I know we don't have an hour or two, but give us a little hint about what that might mean. How could you get a book funded through a nonprofit or grants?
Okay, in the grant world in the United States, it caters to nonprofits and educational institutions because of the tax laws we have. So it's hard for individuals to get a grant because whoever gives you the grant can't write it off, can't write it off their taxes. So without getting into all the tax code, what an individual can do is actually contact a nonprofit and say, hey, I'm writing this book on this subject that happens to be a subject y'all are involved in. Do you think we could come up with a partnership? Now, what that does is they become your fiscal sponsor. That's the technical jargon for it. They apply for the grant on your behalf. The grant goes to them. You get 90%, 94, 88, whatever y'all agree to, because the nonprofit gets an administrative cost out of it. And they keep the books. What do you need? You know, they may divide it up into quarters or monthly payments or however they do it. But basically, they hold your checkbook and write the checks out to you as you need the money. And they are the ones accountable. The key is that you've got to match your project with their mission. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I had a girl who self-published a book called Washington's U.S. Marshals. And it was a kid's book about George Washington establishing the Marshals Service, which is the oldest law enforcement entity in the United States. And she contacted the Daughters of the American Revolution and said, do you have need in any of your projects for this type book? And sent them a copy of the book. And they said, oh, yes, we've got an educational project. We'd love to use this. They wound up buying hundreds of her books. And as a result of buying the book, funded the publishing of that book. But they gave her seed money to get started on that thing. It was,
wow.
It was, you know, they're a nonprofit. And so they partnered with her to get this book published to help them and their educational purposes help her as an author.
Wow.
Now there are some fiscal there are some entities out there that do nothing but just be fiscal agents for authors. The New York Foundation for the Arts is not restricted to just New York. They offer to be a fiscal agent to any artist that has a specific project they need funding. So I think I've got on my About Grants page on my website. You can go to Grants and scroll down. I think there's a Q&A for Grants. I talk a little bit about fiscal agents, but
can you back up and tell us a little bit, what's a fiscal agent? It's the checkbook holder? It's a little bit more.
It's the checkbook holder. It, the fiscal agent is the nonprofit or the entity that actually gets the grant in your name and is responsible for the grant. Because you as an individual won't have access to those grants. Nonprofits have access to 100 times more grants than an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So they can actually get the grant. They get their administrative money from it, 10%, and then the rest goes to you to fulfill your project. Of course, you know, you are under the gun to get your project done. Yeah, there's no not fulfilling your project. You need to come across, because not only is your reputation on the line, but so is the nonprofit and so is the grant provider.
And typically, what are the requirements then for fulfilling the project? What do they expect the writer to do? I mean, I know with a dancer or an artist, they'd have to have a show or a performance, but does that mean the writer has to publish the book or has to do a reading or what kind of a thing?
Well, you agree to that all up front.
Okay.
It could be, I've seen artists get grants to do research, say, for their book. And the end result is that they have to show the finished manuscript. I mean, they may not necessarily have to have a publisher.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? And they may just have to do a presentation to the fiscal agent or the grant provider and say, you know, this is what you enabled me to do, and this is what I plan to do from this point forward. So it's a matter of being able to cough up and show what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that you tried.
So, you know, I'm getting a little dreamy now, and I'm wondering, can we get grants to, like, just go away and write somewhere? Is that a possibility?
The retreats?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. There are retreats everywhere. If you can go to Shaw Guides, shawguides.com, and they have a writing section. And in that writing section, you'll see retreats and conferences. And there's just tons of them, but they can be in the city, they can be in the country, they can be in the mountains, at the shore. There's one or two in France, there's one or two in Ireland. They're all over, and most of them are nonprofit. Therefore, they have these little small grants for chosen artists to attend and spend anywhere from a week. Some can go as much as 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Even the National Park Service in the United States has what they call a writers and artist in residence or writers in residence. And you go out to the parks, a national park, not a state park, and some of them have cabins, some of them have dormitories. It just depends on where it's at. You could be in the Everglades, you can be in the Black Hills, you can be in Cape Cod. They all have retreats for you to get away and write. The most you might have to do in going to one of those kind of retreats is actually when you have tourists coming through the park, is actually give a little 10-minute talk about, hey, I'm the artist in residence for this 6 months, and this is what I'm working on, and, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, I just love that idea. This is just exciting. So, Hope, how would you recommend the writers listening to us kind of set out a plan to do some grant writing and some contests and magazine writing? How do we kind of set it up so that we have a way to earn our income?
Okay, one, you need to set your goal as to what are you trying to do.
Mm.
Yeah, what is your big purpose in this writing profession?
Okay.
Okay, that's number one, because a lot of people say, I'm going to be a writer, and are not quite sure how to wrap their arms around that.
Yeah.
So decide what kind of writer you want to be. Now, the next thing I would start doing is actually pitching to a few magazines, and especially trade magazines. They're the easiest to break into. Very easy to break into. And all you got to do is write on some evergreen subject or write a profile or interview someone, and you can break into some kind of trade magazine, I assure you. But look at your subject matter, and, you know, of course, the retreats are a given. Apply for a couple of retreats a year. You may think you're not going to get them, but go ahead and throw your name out there, because once you do land one, oh, it's so much easier to get another one because they feed off each other. They know each other. But yeah, set yourself up some goals. Say, okay, I'm going to try and write 2 magazine articles this month and enter 2 contests and apply for 2 grants. And then every night I'm going to spend, you know, 45 minutes or an hour on my novel. Whatever. Set yourself up guidelines and goals for this month and then where you hope to be in 6 months and then in 1 year. And you've got to stop and analyze those goals along and along to see if you're there or not. You don't want to get to the end of the year on New Year's Eve and go, wow, I sure didn't get much done this year. So set up goals for each one of these kinds of funding streams. If you're not making enough money off the magazines, where else can you make money without eating up all your time for you to write your novel? Set yourself parameters in time and income so that you have a guideline to follow and something to amend if it's not working.
Go ahead.
Just pitch. Just pitch to magazines and pitch to local businesses. I know the cold calling just creeps me out. I like my study. I like my quiet. I like doing everything online. But you can cold call businesses and say, do you need a writer? Okay, it can be that simple. And if you have been in your hometown long enough, start with your nearest and dearest friends and people you know, because even if they don't need you, they can talk to 10 other people. And eventually somebody's going to hear, hey, you're the writer I heard about. Yes, sir. You know, is there anything I can do for you? And it's going to take, again, management of your time, because I can tell you right now, you can go crazy to where you're only writing magazine articles all the time or you're only writing for local businesses all the time. Set yourself up some goals and stick to them. Just make sure that once a month you revisit them to make sure those are the ones you want.
That makes sense. So you don't end up with a whole bunch of writing jobs you hate.
Exactly.
Just to earn the money.
And you don't touch a novel for 5 years. I mean,
yeah. Well, I want to open it up to calls or to our callers to see if they have questions. I muted you all, so if you need to unmute yourself, if you want to ask a question, click *7. I'm going to run down the list and unmute. If you have any questions, just ask Hope. This is a great time to have a writer who's done pretty much everything to make money. I know it's getting louder now because I'm unmuting everybody, but I want to give you a chance to go ahead and ask your questions. So, whoever would like to talk. Anybody have any questions? Any questions? That line is getting kind of loud, so I may start muting people again. Go ahead, ask your questions if you have one. If not, I'm sure that I can come up with a bunch of questions because I always have things to talk about. Anybody? Yes.
Well, I do have a question.
Go ahead.
I do have a question for Hope. Hope, you had recommended that people start in magazine article writing. What is the typical word count for a magazine article that magazines are looking for?
I would say your average feature length is around 2,000 words. However, you really have to read the guidelines because something could be as small as 500 words, as much as 10,000 words. So you're going to have to read it. And I know I get asked, do I write the article first or do I pitch, you know, do I find the magazine first? To me, you find the magazine first. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I muted everybody so she can still hear you.
Okay.
If anybody wants to ask another question, it's *7. But I muted everybody because it was so loud, I was having trouble hearing Hope.
Okay, let me. And I'll keep answering her question.
Yep.
But you do need to check the guidelines because they're very, very picky. Some of them may let you go over 10 or 15 words. Others may cut you off. But find the magazine first, and then start thinking of topics you can pitch to them. Now, I know I do, that's the way I do it for the most part, but if I have suddenly a really good idea or I run into somebody that I think would make a wonderful profile piece for a magazine, then I start looking for magazines to match that, but I never write it ahead of time. There are very few magazines that take things on spec anymore, meaning, you know, you write it for them and then they decide if they want it or not. They pretty much operate on queries. So get your query letter down, Pat, make it sing, and then just pitch that sucker to a half a dozen magazines and see who bites first.
And I think, Hope, I'd add that if the more research you can do, the better. So if it's a magazine you know, great. If it's not a magazine you know, most of them have guidelines online now. And in addition, there's all sorts of places, including yours, online that give some specs for magazines that help us get to know them a little bit better.
And Writer's Market, I can't, you know, I mean, I love Writer's Market. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I got a new chapter in the 2013 Writer's Market this year. That was a coup. That was one of my magazine wins.
Yay.
But I also use the best of the magazine markets for writers that's put out by the Writers Institute.
Mm.
It's marvelous. I've found a lot of obscure magazines in there that are not in Writer's Market.
So tell us about, what's that resource called again?
The best of the magazine markets for writers. It's put out every year, just like Writer's Market. I've got the 2012 edition, and it's put out by Writers Institute Publications.
That's a great resource. Thank you. More questions. We'd love to have you ask questions. I had to mute the line because it was so loud, but if you want to ask a question, just push *7 to unmute your line and go ahead and let us know what you're interested in asking. If that doesn't work and you're on my Facebook page, my Right Now Coach Facebook page, you can go ahead and post a question there, and I'd be happy to ask it for you. So whoever would like to ask a question, go ahead. You can unmute yourself with *7. So Hope, as we're kind of waiting for someone to jump in, how do you go about gathering ideas? I know that's a question every writer hates to be asked, you know, and one writer joked, well, you know, I go to the idea store and I buy them. So what do you do to be able to get 13 queries out or have 13 queries out at a time? You're clearly, you know, coming up with ideas all the time. So where are you finding them?
They are so impromptu, it's unbelievable. Really, I'll have a good, you learn after a while to kind of live with a writer's eye. You know, you're always looking for ideas. I mean, I've watched television shows and told my husband, stop it, I got to write this down. because I just saw something that would make for a good article. Blogs are, to me, are wonderful ideas. It doesn't mean you've got to copy someone's blog article. However, it could be the manner in which they say something or just an aside they said to make another point that can trigger something. I love using blogs for ideas. Of course, you're going to pull articles from what you know. You know, when I teach a class on branding and platform, I make people dig down as to who they are. You'd be amazed how many people think, I don't know anything. Actually, do. You know tons and tons and tons of things. It's a matter of tapping it and feeling like you can pitch it. And I promise you, the editor on the other end, if you pitch it well, he's going to buy it. It doesn't mean you've got to have a 9-to-5 job in it. It doesn't mean you have to have won the Nobel Peace Prize in it. It just means you can talk it. I'll run down mine. I mean, I can talk chickens. Okay, I raise chickens. You know, my degree is in agriculture, so I have written for Landscape Magazine, Turf Magazine, those types of things. And all I did was grab local experts in the business and interview them. You know, I was putting in a sprinkler system in my yard, and a guy came that was just superb at customer service. And I turned around and pitched an article on customer service to Landscape Management.
Oh, wow.
See, it's just watching your everyday life and thinking of would any of this make an article? Would any of this make an article? And it's amazing what you can come up with. I've written about when my kids were teenagers and I was pulling my hair out with them. I wrote for 3 teenage magazines.
Wow.
You know, College Bound Teen, American Careers, and a few others. But I took examples of headaches I went through with them and how we solved them and then pitched articles. So it's just taking your life, dissecting it, and turning it into little articles.
And so, Hope, do you have a regular time every week that you sit down and kind of come up with articles, ideas, and match them to places, or do you just kind of do it when the inspiration hits you?
On my magazines, it's when
it hits.
It really is. Everything else is so organized and synchronized in my life here with writing. But when it comes to magazines, I have notes, of course, across my desk. I have notepads in the kitchen. I have one next to my chair in the den, and one next to my nightstand.
Yeah.
And just as I get a thought, I jot it down. And so the next time I sit down at the computer, I take my notes and start matching them to magazines. Because, your thoughts can come at the most inopportune moments. And, you jot them down before they fly away, and that's how I get my thoughts. But once I get a handful of them, I do. I sit down and just start pitching a handful of them. I come up with some queries. I write every query differently. There are no two queries alike. The editors need to feel like you are only speaking to them.
Mm, so you don't have a template that you use and fill in the blanks.
Not at all, because even your bio needs to be unique. Even your bio, because if I'm pitching a landscape management book, a magazine, I'm not going to flaunt Funds for Writers or my mystery. I'm going to flaunt my degree in agronomy.
Mm.
See, I'm going to pick my strength and pitch it to that editor. Now, if I'm going to do Writer's Digest, magazine, then I'm going to either pitch it from the Funds for Writers side or I'm going to pitch it from the mystery writer side.
Mm.
So each one needs to be written specifically for the editor in mind and the publication in mind, and they can tell. They can most definitely tell.
That is such a great tip, and I'm guessing that if you're applying for a grant or a contest, that could be a good idea too.
Oh, absolutely. I keep copies of what I sent just for records. I have no templates on my computer whatsoever.
That is great. Well, I think we have time for a final tip. So if you were to give these writers here a final tip on funding sources or writing or anything, what would it be?
The first is get familiar with your Arts Commission because they know everything that's going on in your state. And second, don't think because you're only so-and-so, you cannot win a grant or win a contest or land a gig with a magazine. You keep hitting at it, eventually you're gonna hit the mark. It's diligence. There's a lot of competition in this business. And I know some people are starting off green and you feel like you're nobody and you have nothing to offer. Write that query as if you have everything to offer. And be confident in what you're doing. You will eventually surprise yourself with getting an acceptance here and an acceptance there. Somebody told me the other day, because I was in Writer's Market, I had arrived. And I'm like, no. There's a lot of people a whole lot better than I am that I would so love to be like. And then I stopped and thought, if I have come a lot further than 5 years ago. It made me stop and do a self-analysis. I tell people all the time, keep doing it. Quit discounting yourself. Just keep writing, keep pitching. The more you do it, your writing improves, your queries improve, you learn more about the business, and suddenly you're doing it. And you didn't even see it coming.
Wow. Well, thank you, Hope. I am so inspired. And feel like a little boost of energy about writing again. So this is exciting. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, well, you're quite welcome. I love doing this.
Well, Friends, our guest has been Hope Clark. She's the founder of FriendsForWriters.com. So go visit her website or visit my website, rightnowcoach.com/blog, and find her blog post and enter to win the contest. You could win either a copy of her novel or a subscription to Funds for Writers. But do check out her website because there's tons of great resources there. Join us next month on October 24th at noon for writing productivity tools. Thanks, everybody. This has been the Right Now Mastermind class. Bye-bye.